The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth, and show deference to no one. For you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
May be seated, and I think we have a children's sermon this morning.
Good morning, children. Good morning, parents. I hope everyone is doing well. I have a question for the kids here in the sanctuary. Have any of you ever seen the movie Cars? If you've seen the movie Cars, go ahead and raise your hand so I can see it. Grandparents and parents, have you also ever watched the movie Cars? Okay. So in the movie Cars, Lightning McQueen gets a speeding ticket in Radiator Springs, and as punishment, he has to build a new road for Radiator Springs. Now, the first time he does it, he does a terrible job, right, kids? The roads are uneven, there's holes in the middle of the road, it's very bumpy, nobody could ride on it. And then the second time he makes a road, he fixes the road. It's very smooth and black, and there's new paint on it. It's a very beautiful piece of road. And everybody in Radiator Springs says, "Hooray, Lightning McQueen made us a new road." And that little lowrider car gets low, and he goes, "Ooh, the gravel feels good, it's fresh." And everybody's happy. That is what taxes are supposed to be for. Today, we have an interesting word of taxes. Now, you kids may think to yourselves, what are taxes? Well, they're supposed to be for building roads, new roads, fresh roads. Your parents and grandparents, they work very hard for their money, and everybody's favorite uncle, Uncle Sam, goes inside their paycheck, and he takes just a little bit out. That playground down in Yorktown, it's a very nice playground. It's a very beautiful playground. When I was a kid, my playgrounds were made out of wood. There were splinters that stuck out. There were nails that stuck in. It was kind of dangerous. Kind of had to move around. And the slides were kind of shaky. These slides are safe. But what if we could have another playground? What if we could have a bigger playground with bigger slides? What if Yorktown could have a swimming pool with a lifeguard and a water slide? And as soon as you came down, it launched you into the air, and you can go inside the pool. That is what our taxes are supposed to go for. Now you look around Yorktown and you say, "Hey, these roads are kind of uneven. Look at that hole right there. It's gray, it's not black. Hey, this playground, it's a cool playground, but it's, you know, I kind of want a new playground. Hey, how come the city of Cuero has a pool, but we don't have a pool? Where is that at?" These are what taxes are supposed to be for. And your parents sit around and say, "If my tax money is not going to a playground, or to the roads, or to the pool, why should I pay them? What's happening? My favorite uncle, Uncle Sam, is taking from me, and he's not doing anything with them." So it is today, as it is back in the Bible. When the Romans were in control, and the Israelites were under Roman rule, they had to pay taxes. They didn't like it. So they went to Jesus, who knows everything, and they tried to trick him. But here was the trick. If Jesus said, "Don't pay your taxes," then they can say, "Ha ha, we got you, because you're supposed to pay your taxes. As Roman citizens and as people under the Roman rule, we have to support our government." And they would get him if Jesus said, "Don't pay your taxes." And then if Jesus said, "You need to pay your taxes," they would say, "Ha ha, you're a traitor. You don't like us. You're here to destroy us. How dare you oppress us?" So Jesus didn't either. He said, "Bring me a coin." And someone brought Jesus a coin, gave it to him, And Jesus took it, and he looked it, and he said, "Whose face is that on the coin?" And they said, "Well, that's the emperor's." And Jesus goes on to say, "Then you give to the emperor what is the emperor's, and you give to my father what belongs to my father." Kids, all throughout history, people have been very tight and very concerned about where their money goes. And yet Jesus is here giving a clear example of what you should do. Here on earth, pay your taxes. Here on earth, don't forget about my Father in heaven. Give to the church what is the church. Give to the government what belongs to the government. And this way, you will be blessed. Because when you think of my Father, and you bless him with blessings that he gave you, my Father will remember you. Not only will he remember you, but he will give you more blessings in the future at his time, not on your time, but on his time. The greatest blessing God ever gave us was Jesus Christ. He gave us Jesus Christ so that we could return to paradise with him. And that's the big important thing that I want you to remember. God gave his son Jesus Christ so we could all return back to heaven and to a new earth with God. Thank you so much for being here. I appreciate you. You all have a good week at school. Stay safe. Wear your mask. Wash your hands. God bless you. Pastor Tim.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A court jester displeased the king, and the king ordered his execution. But the king said, "But since you have made me laugh over the years with your antics and with your jokes, I am going to let you choose which way that you choose to die." And the jester said, "Oh, gracious king, if it's all the same to you, the method of death that I choose is old age." Jesus, too, is presented with an impossible question here in our gospel lesson. This story once again takes place in what we know of as Holy Week. It continues the series of stories that we and parables that we have heard these last few weeks. Jesus had already entered into Jerusalem with the people waving their palm branches and putting their cloaks out on the road for him celebrating him as a king as he entered Jerusalem. He has already overturned the money changers' tables. And then each day he comes back into the city and he sits in the temple courtyard and he visits with people, he heals people, he's teaching them, and he is also being challenged by the religious leaders. And so it's all coming to a head because in just a few short days, Jesus would be arrested. He would be tried, he would be condemned, he would be tortured, and he would be hung on the cross to die. And then on the third day, he would rise again. And so this story is put into that context. And Jerusalem at this time is in the midst of celebration. It's the Passover time. And so the city swells to 2, 3, maybe even 4 times its normal size. So there's lots of people around watching this exchange, which is happening between Jesus and the religious leaders. So once again, they try to entrap him. They entrap him with a question that seems to have no good answer. They ask him, "Jesus, is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" It's kind of like asking the question, "Have you stopped beating your wife yet?" Either way implies guilt. If Jesus would have said, "No, it is not lawful to pay taxes to Caesar," then they would simply just report him to the authorities. Jesus would be arrested. No more problem with Jesus for the Pharisees. Or if he would have said, "Yes, it is lawful to pay taxes to Caesar," then all those people gathered around him would be angry at him. He would be discredited and be looked at as a traitor because the people did not believe that there should be a pagan, foreign government ruling them in God's promised land. And so if he would have said yes, Jesus too would have been done with. No more problem with Jesus for the Pharisees. But in the fashion of Jesus, Jesus didn't answer directly. Jesus always gets to the point of what is important. So he asked for a coin that pays that tax to Rome. And he asked them, whose picture is on this coin? Now, a little bit about the coin. The coin was a denarius. It had the picture of Emperor Tiberius Caesar. And also, it had the inscription, God and King. And so, to the Jews, this was a graven image. This was idolatry to have that image on the coin. As a matter of fact, that coin was not even allowed inside the temple. That was the reason for the money changers outside the temple. So that as you paid your temple tax, or as you paid your offerings or your sacrifices, you bought your sacrifices, you couldn't use that Roman coin. You had to use a special coin you used just for the temple. And that's why the money changers were out there. So Jesus asked for this coin and says, whose image is this? And they answered, Caesar. And Jesus says, render unto Caesar what is Caesar, render unto God what is God's. And that satisfied everybody. The Roman authorities wouldn't come down on him. The people weren't angry with him. It satisfied everybody but the Pharisees, because they continued to plot. But it doesn't really answer that question. It doesn't answer the question of what does belong to Caesar? What does belong to God? And even that same scenario wouldn't work today for us. I mean, if you take out a piece of money, either a coin or some folding money, and you look at that, what's it have on there? It has a picture of maybe one of our past presidents, or an important figure in our nation, or an important place in our nation. But then, either on that front side or on the back, it has on there, trust, in God we trust. So that really doesn't play out for us either. It doesn't answer the question for us. What do we render to Caesar? What do we render to God? And it brings up even a broader question then. What do we owe other people? Or how much time do we owe our family? Or how much effort do I owe my job? What do I owe to my community, or to my state, or to my nation? What do I owe for myself, for my own health? All these questions arise out of this. This particular passage was used in a number of different ways to bring about a point that you wanted to bring about in a lot of different political type arguments. In Nazi Germany, the Christians who opposed Hitler used this passage to say, he is a monster. We don't need to render to him anything because he's going against God. And at the same time, those Christians in Germany during that same time period used it to support the anti-Jewish laws that were being put into effect. Here in the United States during the Vietnam War, it was used by the anti-war protest. It was also used by those who supported the war in saying that this is a just war. It raises a lot of questions sometimes, and it makes us think, and if we are able to have good discussions or even good arguments about what belongs to God, what belongs to the good of the people here on this earth, what do we need to give to government here on this earth? Because government does serve a good purpose. That's the purpose of government. Is so that we do not have a chaotic society, that we have an ordered society, that the citizens of a country are taken care of, that they have the health and the food or the basic needs that they need. Nicholas talked about the infrastructure. We need infrastructure, good infrastructure, so that commerce keeps moving within the country. We need just laws, fair laws within our country as well then too. And that's the purpose of government. That's why we have government. And to run government, yes, we do need to pay taxes. but what belongs to God? And then also, too, here in the United States, we have the Constitution, and it says, or it speaks about the separation of church and state. So what belongs to the church? What belongs to the state? And people holler out, keep the church out of politics, keep the church out of government, keep the government out of our churches. But that, too, even raises questions. Then is it appropriate to have a national flag in our sanctuary? Is it appropriate to demand prayer, public prayer in schools? Is it appropriate to open Congress with prayers? Is it appropriate for the government to say we must wear these masks in our worship or do any of the other things in worship as maybe rules from OSHA or building codes? Can they put those determinations on us too? So it raises a lot of questions then, or there's a lot of things we need to answer, think about thoughtfully, and to pray about as well then too. Where does this leave this? Where does this leave us? Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Render unto God what is God's. I don't know that I have all the answers, but one thing I can say is it's a matter of priorities. It's a matter of priorities. What is the most important? And if you stop and think about it, government's job is to enact laws. But there is no law that government can enact that God has to abide by. God also has enacted laws. He has enacted His grace. And that is for everybody, no matter what nation you live in. God has precedent. God is in control. Ultimately, everything belongs to God. Give to God what is God's. If we and use the things of this earth for the people here so that everybody has a good life or has the opportunity, I should say, for a good life. If we render unto God what is God's, then the rest will follow. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.